watching a transformation happening to somebody that was on a worship team at a church that I used to attend. And I knew that he was a policeman, and he played electric guitar. Yeah, this one right here, what Zach was playing. And he played electric guitar at our church. And all of a sudden, I noticed that he was getting a scrubby face and letting his hair grow long. Now, I'm usually pretty slow about noticing things. Ask my wife. Not usually up until it's fairly obvious to everybody. And I remember then all of a sudden realizing his hair's on his shoulders. And he's got kind of an unkempt beard. Something's happening. And I said, "Are you going undercover?" And he was. He hadn't gotten fired from his job and in depression. He was going undercover on the vice unit. Now, okay, are some of you going undercover? I can't tell by the way you look, but I just wonder if when we leave these walls, if you don't just kind of mix in with everything else, and it's hard for anybody else to know that you are a disciple of Jesus. In fact, if you're in church today and Jesus is kind of a new thing or kind of a distant thing for you, you may think that a lot of churches are filled with people who say one thing on Sunday, act a certain way on Sunday, but during the week, they're using God's name in vain just like everybody else. They're cheating and looking for different ways to be able to take an advantage over somebody else. They're criticizing their boss. You know, they're talking ill about their spouse just like everybody else does. They're Christians undercover. They're in secret. And I might say, are they really Christians? Which is the real you? Is the undercover part during the week, is that the real you? Or is the undercover part what you do on Sundays? Now, we are wrapping up a study on the book of Colossians, and we are in the first part of chapter 4, if you want to turn in your Bibles to that. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6 is what we're going to look at today. And I believe this is kind of the challenge that Paul is coming as he's concluding his letter. He's talked about how incredible Jesus is. And he's acknowledging that in this town of Colossae, God's planted a church of people whose lives have been transformed by Jesus. And now he's telling them, how do you live? And so he, first of all, in the first two chapters, he talks about how to solidify your faith, your hold on who Jesus is, because he's the one who's purchased our salvation, redeemed us from this broken world, and given us the hope of heaven. It's Christ in you, this hope of glory. And their lives have been transformed. But they live in a city whose lives have not been transformed. And they've got a lot of other religious views and spiritual views that are out there. And their lives have been transformed by Jesus, but they're trying to figure out, how do we live out in the world? And what's the reason that God has this church in this city? And how do we live out our ministry and mission? Now, Christians, I don't know if any of you feel that way. And if you're not a Christian yet and you're here because somebody else invited you to come to church or your spouse drug you along, you might be wondering, yeah, what's up with Christianity? What's the big deal? What are you supposed to do? Now, what's interesting to me, and I said this last week, it's interesting to me as Paul talks about how incredible Jesus is, the transformation that's happened in your life, and how the old part of you has been changed by Jesus to become new. You'd think he'd come with some incredible plan of how now this new you is going to transform the city. And what he actually talked about last week was okay, let's practice it at home and let's practice it at work. And he tells moms and dads, husbands and wives, how do you live as a representative of Jesus in your home? And he talks to people who are employed or working or masters, owners, or supervisors in a workplace. And he tells them how to live as a representative of Jesus in your workplace. Okay, come on, Paul. There has to be something more. I mean, really, you think you're going to transform a city by people being like Jesus in their home and people being like Jesus in their workplace? Isn't there some bigger plan? And Paul seems to understand that God's plan of creating transformation in a city around us is not through big programs, not even through big churches. I hate to say that because I attend a church that's three times the size of the average church in America. You may not feel like you're a big church, but anybody over 75, any church that's gathering over 75 people, 50% of the churches are 75 people or less. We're a big church. And is God going to do something through us because we're a big church? No. You know, God's plan, look at this. I want you to read this verse. Read it along with me. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We pointed out it to us last week. I want you to read this with me. Read it together. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, so here's the word whatever. This is the incredible strategy that God has, is that wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you do it as a representative of Jesus. Now, I think that's transforming. I think people would notice something's going on if you stopped being your normal you, the you in the flesh, you with your own pride and your arrogance and your persistence to have things your way. If you stopped being you and you started thinking, I'm going to be like Jesus. I get to be Jesus in this place. Now, I know some of the places where God's put you are probably some scary places. You may be a kid going to school, middle school and high school. You may be in college, and you know that the places where you're at are pretty antagonistic for Christians. And you'd love to be someplace else, but right now you have to get your diploma or your degree. And I want you to know, God's plan is this incredible plan. Wherever you are, do whatever you do, say whatever you say, as if you are a representative of Jesus. That's the big plan. So I want to ask you, are you undercover, or are you going to the places where you're going as if Jesus were going there, and the words you say and the things you do would be what you think Jesus might do in that environment? Now, what I like about what we're going to look at today is that Paul starts to talk, okay, how do you do that? What's that look like? What are the habits you can develop so that you can be Jesus' representative in these most ordinary of places? Look at this sentence here that I've got. I believe this is really the big picture of what Paul is saying in Colossians, that God shows his supernatural grace. God shows his incredible grace, this grace that gives you what you don't deserve, blesses you even though you don't deserve it, redeems you back even though all the things that you've done wrong, and it doesn't matter how far you've gone wrong down the wrong path. God's supernatural grace through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross brings you back and draws you in and gives you a new life, washes away your sins, gives you a purpose for living and a promise and a hope of heaven. God's supernatural grace transformed people. So that means people whose lives have been changed by Jesus, and they live that life out in ordinary places. So let's pray real quick, and then I want to talk about how we as a church can do that. Today we're saying that as we work together and meet together in small groups or as a church, our goal is together we would bless the world around us. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the chance to be able to be here. I thank you that we get to look at words that your Holy Spirit prompted men and women in the Bible to write. I thank you, Father, for the testimony of their lives, and I thank you that you filled these words with power. And today I pray that they would resonate like truth to our hearts. Each of us comes from a different perspective, Father, a different situation in our life, different challenges that we're facing. And today we just need to hear you speak to us. So, Father, would you give us ears that are ready to hear what you want to say through the words we're going to study today? And then would you give us a heart that's ready to embrace that and obey what you say? And Father, we pray in expectation. We believe that every time we gather together, there's something incredible that you're going to do by your Holy Spirit and by your word. So Father, surprise us today. Cause us to know you are powerful, you are full of grace, full of truth. Bless us now as we read. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so turn Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 2 through 6. Just after he's talked about the home and the workplace, he gives these instructions about how you should live this out in those two arenas so that you can have the highest impact on the people around you. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Okay, I want you to notice a couple of things. The first thing that he says is your strategy at home or in your workplace is that you would begin with prayer. You would begin by starting your agenda, your strategy, by praying that God would, number one, open doors for the gospel, that God would lead you in the places where he wants you to go, that God would give you strength for the words that you need to say, give you wisdom for the things you need to do. Now, I don't know whether the word devoted is important in this or not. What do you think? Paul says, be devoted, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, I want you to think of a picture that you can think of that models or illustrates what devotion means. Now, some of you, it may be a military comrade, somebody who was accomplishing a task or a mission, and they were devoted to their superior officer, devoted to their comrades, and they were doing, no matter how hard it was, they were doing the task that they were supposed to do. Some of you may think of a husband and wife, and every time you're with that couple, you think how much they seem to be devoted. They love each other. They're for each other. They're different than other couples that you hang out with. Because other couples that you hang out with are constantly criticizing each other or irritated, kind of agitated with each other. But this couple seems to be devoted to each other, committed to each other, protecting each other. The word devotion means deeply attached and committed. So this idea of being devoted to prayer means that you are deeply committed to this aspect in your walk with Jesus. Now, we've said a lot of times that sometimes it's the stuff that's done beneath the surface that is the most important stuff. You look at the trees that are growing outside here. The most important part of that tree is the roots that are taking nutrients out of the soil. And the leaves are all falling now, but the leaves play a significant role of soaking in the sunshine so photosynthesis can give energy to the tree to be able to pull the sap and the nutrients up to the tree so that every part of the tree can be fed. But what holds the tree in the wind is roots. And you and I don't see and think, but they say the roots are just as big underground as what you see above the tree, above the ground. So here's what I want to ask you. If you want to transform your home, if you want to be Jesus' representative in your workplace, you have to start with prayer. And two things that Paul says here. Number one, that you would pray being watchful and thankful. And then that you would pray for us. Paul says, he's talking about himself. He's in Rome writing a letter to the church that's in Asia and a part of middle of Turkey. And he's writing to them and telling them about how to live out their faith. And Paul's saying, pray for you to live out your faith in your workplace, in your home. And then pray for us. And then listen to what he says. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. So here's one of the things I'd like you to consider. If you are praying this prayer, if you're devoted to prayer, what if every morning you started off with, okay, God, today's a day that you've had planned long ago. So today, would you open my eyes to the opportunities that you place around me? Would you show me one person today that I can show your love to? Whether it's by words or by actions, give me one person today that I can show your love to. And then through the day, you start watching for open doors. What do open doors look like? Open doors look like a person who may be down or depressed or discouraged at work. And the open door is for you to be able to come alongside and show heaven's love to that person. It may be that somebody down the street at in your neighborhood. I was eating lunch on Friday and asked the waitress, is there anything that I can pray for, that our group can pray for you? And she said, well, my neighbor just lost his wife. So would you pray for Steve? Well, I don't even know if she's a believer or not. So we prayed for her, but we prayed for her neighbor because she was aware there was a need right there. And here's an open door right in front of us. There's somebody who has a need that we could show God's love to. Now, when you're in prison, Paul's in prison. Paul's saying, I need to have open doors around me. Paul can't go to an open door. The open doors come to him. So he's actually in a house arrest. There's Roman guards around him. And Paul's looking and praying for, would you pray that God would give me open doors? Well, he can't leave his house. But he has people constantly coming in, bringing food, telling him about how different things are going. And then there's these guards that are guarding the house that aren't believers. And Paul is looking for open doors to influence the guards, to find out what's going on in their life and try to introduce them to Jesus. Paul even says in Philippians, there's some of the people in Caesar's household that are starting to come to faith because they're hearing about the gospel, even while I'm in prison. So I want to ask you, do you know what an open door looks like? Because Paul says one of the prayers you ought to pray is, God, would you give me an open door to be able to tell your story to somebody else? And then Paul says, pray that I would say it clearly. I'd be able to speak boldly about the mystery of Jesus. One of the things, I've been reading a book recently called Out of the Salt Shaker by a gal named Rebecca Manley Pippert. And she says, both non-Christians and Christians have one thing in common about evangelism. It seems awkward to both of us. And if you can relate, if you're a Christian trying to share your faith with non-Christians, it sometimes seems weird, it seems forced, seems offensive to the people. And if you're a non-Christian and you've ever had somebody try to share the gospel with you, it feels very awkward. It feels like, why are they trying to push this on me? I don't even get it. Paul says the message about Jesus is like a mystery. It's a mystery. It's hard kind of to understand. It's not that it's ununderstandable, but it doesn't make sense from our human mindset. And so as we start to sow seeds about the gospel, the mystery starts to become more clear. And I don't know if the gospel is still a mystery to you, but I would encourage you and I pray that you've got somebody around you that you can ask those questions. What's the big deal about Jesus? How can I really know that he's what he claims to be? Is the resurrection of Jesus really that big of a deal? And how can I know for sure that it even really happened? And if it happened, how do I step into this life with Jesus? How do I become a Christian with all the stuff that I've done? I hope you have somebody around you that can help answer those questions so the mystery doesn't stay a mystery, but all of a sudden you find a door when the aha happens, and all of a sudden mercy flows into the mystery and your life is transformed by Jesus. Here's the first thing I want to say. Begin your day with prayer. And pray that God would give you the right things to do as you live in your home, as you go to your workplace, that God would open up to you doors. You'd see open doors where you could love other people in Jesus' name. And here's the second thing I would encourage you to do. After you've prayed, Paul says it this way, be watchful and thankful, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, I have to admit that sometimes I pray a prayer, I read my scripture time, and then I leave, and I just kind of go through my day. And if you asked me at 10 o'clock, what did you read this morning? And what did you pray for this morning? I'm embarrassed. I can't remember. Sometimes I can't remember what I preached last Sunday. Do you have that trouble? Okay. So Paul is saying, hey, when you're getting the prayer part, when you're devoting yourself, trying to learn to be like Jesus, here's what I want you to do. After you pray, I want you to open your eyes to say, I believe the God I just prayed to is a God who hears and answers prayer. And I believe he's going to do something today to provide an open door or to give me somebody that I could show God's love to. So every day, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be looking. And it might be in the grocery store. It might be in the parking lot at the grocery store. It might be at Walmart. It might be at work. It might be in the bleachers at a ball game. But you constantly go into this. I prayed this morning that God would give me an open door. Show me one person that I could show his love to, somebody in need. And you start watching, listening, and leaning in, and I'm going to say to the Holy Spirit. Listen and lean towards the Holy Spirit. Because what you prayed for, the Holy Spirit's going to provide a pathway for you to be able to be that and do that. Now, my wife and I have been starting with our kids, it's probably 20 years ago, we started praying at our meals, but praying for our waiter or waitress at the restaurant. And I tell you, some of them were kind of crazy. A waitress at the Rain Tree restaurant in Chicago, or maybe in Minneapolis, I can't remember where we were at. but wanted us to pray for her parakeet that was lonely because the other parakeet died. And that's the best thing she could come up with about what she wanted for prayer. And so we prayed for that. We prayed, man, God, there's something deeper. And God, would you just make yourself real to her? We've also prayed for somebody who, the moment we said, can we pray for you, it was like the waitress role just completely fell off of her. And she said, yeah, I'm hanging around with the wrong people. And would you help me, would you pray that I would find some new friends? And we sat and talked for about 3 minutes and talked about what that looked like, what that was going to be like. And we said, we are going to pray for you. And the next night we went to a different restaurant. She was there at that restaurant, hanging out with the family. And we said, Keturah, so cool to see you. She says, yeah, these are some of the people I shouldn't be hanging out with. I didn't know what to do. Okay, so let me just say something. I don't know why we picked the restaurant we did on the second night. But I think the Holy Spirit was at work. We had no idea Keturah was going to be there. But it was one more chance. She came over to our table. We prayed together again. Talked about what this journey was like and tried to get her plugged into a local church. I just want to tell you, Jesus died on the cross, left and went to heaven so that you and I could have the Holy Spirit to live inside us to guide our steps. And we go through the day oftentimes ignoring his promptings. We're not even sure how to listen to his voice. And I just want to say, if you pray in the morning, God, open doors and give me one person today to show your love to, then I want you to say, okay, have your eyes open. And be watchful and thankful when the Holy Spirit starts to make one of those doors open up. Amen? So pray, then listen to the Holy Spirit and lean in when he's prompting you in a direction. Then I want to go to verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. So let me suggest something here. Again, this is kind of talking about this being alert and paying attention to the stuff that is going around. But it's this being wise, being alert, being considerate of the stuff that's happening around you. When you're with Christians or non-Christians, you be careful and think about how could I be a representative of Jesus in this environment? And that doesn't mean throwing your Bible at them, say, hey, turn your Bible to John 3:16. I want to tell you about Jesus, and he died on the cross. Now, you want to get there at some point, but that's not the best way to get their attention. So how do you create this relationship so that you can love them and listen to them and learn what their story is like, and then listen to the Holy Spirit to say, what are the bridges? What are the bridges to help them to be able to find their way into a relationship with Jesus? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to engage meaningfully with other people. Be wise in how you relate and act towards outsiders. And so you think of who are the people around you that God's placed around you, and you develop a meaningful relationship, conversation, get to know what's going on in their life, find out ways that you could pray for them, maybe go out to eat with them, have conversations with them just so you can get to know them better. Let them ask questions about how you handle things when you're facing some of the challenges like they've faced. Don't push stuff onto them. Just open the door. Open the door for them to be able to ask questions. But develop a meaningful relationship. Okay, so if you are a Christian and somebody ever made you, before you were a Christian, somebody made you their project. Did anybody feel that way? There was one person who was trying to get me to become a Christian. Did that work very well for you? Did it open the door? Or would you say, hey, maybe I was their project, but they loved me, they cared for me, I knew I could rely on them. When I had stuff that I needed to do, they were right there to help me. They were a reliable friend. And when I had questions about faith, they were ready to answer questions about faith. When I had arguments about why I didn't believe in church and God, they had answers for me. I want to ask you, nobody wants to be your project. But people desperately need somebody who cares about them. And there's nobody that cares about them, no matter how awkward they are in the workplace. There's nobody that cares about them more than God. And if Jesus were bringing you into the workplace to work with that person, how would Jesus love them? How would Jesus show his love? So let me give you two ways to engage with them meaningfully. One is practice being a servant. When Jesus came to earth, he said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So practice the power of service. Serve someone sacrificially. It will force you to have to go out of your comfort zone, out of your schedule, but serve someone sacrificially. And then secondly, here's one of the ways you can engage meaningfully with them, is share your story graciously, or share God's story graciously. In the midst of the conversation, the Holy Spirit may say, hey, it's time to tell them your story about when you stepped into faith with Jesus. Tell them about the questions you had about whether faith was real. Tell them about the fears that you had when you wondered, what's it going to be like to be a Christian? Tell them the doubts you had whether Jesus could forgive you of your sins, of all the stuff that you had done wrong. It's time to tell them that story. And if you listen to the Spirit, lean in when he tells you to tell those stories, you'll be surprised how God's probably prompted the heart of that person to be ready to receive the seeds of that story. It may prompt more questions, but you'll find that it is actually opening the door. So two things I want to, let me wrap up with. Number one, if you followed those five things that Paul's talking about in these five verses, they spell the word blessed. The first letter of each of those is blessed. Begin with prayer. Listen and lean toward the Holy Spirit. Engage meaningfully with other people. Serve them sacrificially. And then share God's story. Paul is basically giving a very simple, I can do this at work, I can do this at home, I can do this in my neighborhood, a very simple way for you to live the life of blessing. So let me ask you first, have you ever experienced the blessing of Jesus in your life? If Christianity seems like it's just a bunch of rituals, it's something we do, we go to church on Sunday morning, we listen to a long sermon, we sing some songs, and we pray, and then we leave. And if Christianity seems like it's just those motions on weekends, and yet it hasn't really captivated you to say, I have a purpose for Monday, I have a purpose for Tuesday, I know what I'm supposed to be doing in my home, I know how to make my marriage the best it can be, and I'm finding strength from the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. If you're saying, it just seems like I'm going through the motions, I want to ask you, have you ever really surrendered your life to Jesus so that he could transform you and send you out to be a blesser in your neighborhood? And if you feel like I've never been blessed, I don't feel like my life's been restored, I don't feel like I have anything to share, and today I just want you to know Jesus Christ loves you wherever you're at. He loves you more than you can imagine. There's no one here on earth that can demonstrate the kind of love that Jesus has. Even Christians, as we try to demonstrate it, we fail miserably oftentimes. But I just want you to know, you have a Father in heaven who loves you deeply. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. His longing is not for your life to be miserable, but in the midst of the challenges of life, that you would find some inner strength, some purpose that guides you. And today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to receive the blessing that salvation brings. I want you to experience the transformation that Jesus can bring. And if you're tired of sin, if you're tired of going through the motions, and your undercover is when you're at church and you hide the real you, then I just want to ask you, would you be ready? Is today the day that you'd want to say, I want to give my life to Jesus because I need help. I need to experience the blessing that comes from Jesus. And then the last thing, if you have received that blessing of Jesus, can I ask you to begin practicing the five habits of a blesser? And would you start beginning each day with prayer? Would you start looking for open doors that God places around you? Would you engage meaningfully in relationship with lost people, people who don't know God, so you could demonstrate God's love to them? Would you serve them sacrificially, even when it's hard? Would you demonstrate the kind of service that Jesus, when he died on the cross, did for us? And then would you boldly, when the Holy Spirit gives you, would you share your story about when the gospel took over your life? Think of this salt shaker as us at church on Sunday mornings. And the best impact you can have is when you get out of the salt shaker and into the world. And so the most powerful thing that happens every Sunday morning is when you leave with some element and you get out of the salt shaker and you bless somebody in your neighborhood. Now, as a Christian, it's easy to say, I just want to be in church. I love being at church. But Jesus wants you out of the salt shaker. He wants you because he knows salt makes things pure. Salt purifies things. And if you go into the workplace as a representative of Jesus, you're going to purify that place. You're going to start being an influence and change habits of people when they're sitting around you. They may not swear as much, hopefully, when you're around them. Or they may apologize at least when they swear around you. They are aware that you're different. Because the way God wants to transform our city is he wants Christians out of the salt shaker and being Jesus' representative in the world around you. Salt purifies. Salt adds flavor. Salt preserves and helps people stay strong through hard times. And then the other thing is salt makes you thirsty. And I'm thirsty right now, so I'm going to stop. But your influence in another person's life may actually start to make them thirsty for the gospel. Here's what I want you to do. Get out of the salt shaker. Stop living your Christian life undercover. Start to go as Jesus' representative to your home, neighborhood, and workplace. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here today. And to wrap up this We series about moving out of isolation and into a purposeful mission together, not just by ourselves, but we got a whole bunch of people that are going to leave this place and start being your representatives in our homes and neighborhoods and workplaces. And Father, we believe as each day we pray, God, give us one person that we can show your love to. Give us an open door to be able to share your story with. Father, we believe every day there's going to be an opportunity. Help us not to pass them by. And Father, if there's anyone here who needs that blessing, whose life still has a lot of questions about you, Father, I just pray that you'd help us to begin growing some seeds of faith with just a little bit of hope that maybe Jesus is the answer I've been looking for. Maybe Jesus could make the difference. And Jesus, I know you died on the cross so that that little seed of faith could be planted in every person here in the world. So now in our generation, help us to pass that seed on. Father, use us as a church, not just in this building, but use us as a church as you send us out to be blessers of the city around us. And then would you draw people to yourself? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to ask the